Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Astrid Carter, Heather Steele, and Lou Huff. Welcome back, everyone.
Hello.
Happy New Year. Let's talk first. I'm so excited for I've got so many TV shows and films to talk about. So let's launch straight into what we've been watching. What did everybody watch over Christmas?
I actually re-watched a lot of old films and really properly watched them. You know, you can have a film on in the background, you're sort of doing other things, but I really enjoyed Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, the best.
The absolute classic, and watched it from beginning to end non-stop and absolutely loved it. Also rewatched La La Land, which it just makes me so happy.
I don't know how it makes you happy.
It makes me so angry.
Just hang on, spoiler alert. So if you haven't watched it, then
have you
cover
been,
your ears.
Where have you been?
Where have you been? Yeah. And cover your ears. I think it's literally the saddest film ever.
It is really sad. The ending.
I just felt so robbed by the ending.
Me too.
Yeah.
But it was just a bit more real and I liked it, and they had that mutual respect for each other, and it was kind of what would have been, and they knew what it would have been, but
they would have been so amazing.
They would have but I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Also, the Strictly Christmas special.
I didn't actually see it.
So
it.
Good.
No, oh no, that's not true. I did watch it. Sorry, I missed the final, but I did see the Christmas special.
It was really, really good.
Aston finally getting the respect and the votes he deserves.
Yeah.
He was robbed.
He was in the series.
No, he was in the last series and was voted out
so early.
Yeah. He is like one of the best answers that the competition's ever had, and he was voted out in week like 5 or something last year. But he won the Christmas special this year.
Yeah.
I did eat. That's good.
But I think the most exciting thing was Les Mis.
Yes. Anyone else watch Les Mis?
I didn't watch it.
I'm watching it. I'm underwhelmed.
What?
So how many have you seen?
I saw last night, so 2.
Oh, you have as well. So yeah. I've only seen the one. Okay, Lou?
Oh my God, I loved last night. I was like on the edge of my seat.
So what do you like about it?
I think the acting is phenomenal.
Oh yeah, agree. They've got a great cast.
So sorry, we're talking about the BBC adaptation now, right?
Yeah.
So no singing.
Yeah,
exactly.
There were a few points where I was like, oh, this could do with a song. And then I would sort of sing the song in my head. And then afterwards, actually, very cleverly, they'd put the original on straight after at 10 o'clock. And I tuned in to watch a bit of that. And I was actually like, this singing is shocking. So I really
enjoyed
it.
They cast some people who really can't sing in that film.
Yeah. I didn't see the film.
Oh, you did not miss much.
But no, that's
the
I
one with like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe,
no offence, you cannot sing.
He makes Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia sound good.
Oh, that was another one. I watched Mamma Mia.
Yeah, I was just about to write that down. Who ever said that Mamma Mia 2 was a good film?
It was probably the worst film I've ever seen.
I agree, it's the worst film I've ever seen. And like, Lou and I love musicals.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there thinking, oh, cringe, don't break into song. And like, if you love musicals and you're thinking that, you know something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I adore Lily James. I think she's amazing, but I just did not enjoy it.
Did you read her Style cover interview this weekend?
No.
Yeah, it's worth a read. I really like her.
I've got it.
Sorry, so Les Mis.
Yes, Les Mis.
Not enjoying it?
No, I don't know why. I think maybe because I do know the story really well, it's kind of, there's not as much sort of, what's going to happen or tension. I don't know, I think for me that I don't think I've got anything against BBC period dramas, but they just all feel a bit similar to me. I don't find it very exciting necessarily, but I'll continue watching, but I'm kind of only really watching it because it's on a Sunday night rather than I'm like really excited about it.
We are finding it a bit jarring that they're speaking English, and I know there are plenty of adaptations of things that are set in other countries where they speak in English, but with TV shows like Narcos, for example, where you know, it's obviously so realistic because it's authentic and they're speaking the same language, it's really hard to now buy people speaking in like Cockney accents as like working class French people. Like, it's that, you know, they've tried to really like prescribe the right accents onto people depending on their class, but it doesn't translate because, you know, just because you're from up north in England, you probably aren't from up north in France. And I don't know, I'm just finding that really hard to get my head around.
the people in the background as well are always chattering in French as well, yeah. which I think is like they're obviously doing that on purpose to kind of remind you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a bit strange.
My other feeling was that, so Lily Collins plays Fontaine, doesn't she? And she's at the end of the first one, she's left by the guy who leaves her. And if you know Les Mis, you know that it's like pretty much all downhill from there mm-hmm. for her. And I just don't like the idea that, well, I know when I watch the next episode, it's just going to be this whole long miserable slog where she's dying and, you know, and she's it's all like I dreamed a dream sadness. And I'm not sure I can put myself through that emotionally knowing what's coming.
It is really brutal. Yeah. But I think it's actually incredible. And almost like I think sometimes in the musical, you really miss the narrative behind what's happened. Mm-hmm. And she really goes on this amazing journey. And I think she's actually incredible in it, Lily Collins. Mm. So maybe I'm not attached enough to the original that I can then really enjoy a new adaptation for it.
I'm going to keep going. And I'll see.
Yeah, how many parts is it? Five or six?
Oh, I thought eight. Six or eight. So
maybe I won't make it to eight.
yeah, eight's quite a lot. What about everybody else? Heather, what did you watch over the Christmas period?
I watched the ABC Murders just because our family were all kind of shoved in one house for a few nights. And yeah, it was just something we could all do. But again, it was all right. Like, I love what Agatha Christie. So it was the one that had John Malkovich in playing mm-hmm. Poirot. And it was good. I don't know. I wasn't that impressed with the kind of Christmas TV this year.
Said that,
there wasn't
yeah.
really anything I was really excited by apart from that. And then that was kind of, you know, fine. But I don't know. Yeah, wasn't really into it this year.
Astrid?
A bit like you, Lou, I just watched loads of the old classics. But there's one film I watched which is not Christmassy at all and pretty heavy going, but worth mention, on Amazon Prime, called Journeyman. Has anyone seen it?
No.
It's got Paddy Considine and Jodie Whittaker, who are two of my absolute favourites.
She's amazing.
She's insane, and he is absolutely incredible in this film. So they're a married couple. He plays a boxer, and it's his last fight, and you can really tell that she's so happy that it's his last fight. And anyway, after the fight, he goes home and suffers a major brain injury.
I'm pretty sure it's a true story.
I think it might be.
Like I remember hearing an interview with the writer who also directed it.
So Paddy Considine, well, that's Paddy Considine.
Yeah.
So he wrote the screenplay and then he directed it. It's his directorial debut. But he's amazing in it. And it just kind of goes through his journey of struggling with his marriage. But they've got a new baby and just how his whole life kind of turns around. But definitely worth watch.
Oh, I love films like that.
It's like, it's so emotional. There's one scene in it which, like, me and my boyfriend were watching it and we both went, like, literally out loud. I don't want to go into it.
What's it called? The Journeyman.
The Journeyman, yeah.
Amazing.
On Amazon Prime.
Well, I've done a few cinema trips. I went to see Mary Poppins. Have you seen it yet?
Yes.
It is so good. I literally loved every second of it. And, like, obviously Emily Blunt plays the title role, so that's been what the focus is about. But I honestly found her a bit irrelevant to the whole thing. What makes it amazing is the singing and the dancing and the whole kind of production of it. The special effects are incredible. Just everything about it is a kind of feast for the ears and the eyes. And you know when you come away from something on such a high, and I can't remember leaving the cinema feeling like that for years. Aww. So yeah, I loved it.
I thought she was amazing.
Yeah.
I thought she had like a bit more sass, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah,
than,
apparently she's quite a different Mary Poppins. Like, she's quite a bit full of herself and quite vain.
So she,
like, she's always kind of like looking in mirrors and...
Yeah, I had an interview with Emily Blunt where she said that she read all the books, because there's a big series of books, right? So she, as research, read all of them, and so actually based this character a lot more on the Mary Poppins that you see throughout the books. So I think that actually is quite true to the literary Mary Poppins, but maybe different to the Julie Andrews one we know. But you didn't rate Lin-Manuel Miranda, did you?
I didn't love him. I think his accent I struggled with a little bit. And because I am obsessed with Hamilton, I found it hard to, like, there's one bit where he does a song which is very similar to, like, a Hamilton-esque mm-hmm. song, and I couldn't almost detach him from that. But he was good. He was good, but the star for me was Emily Blunt, definitely.
Yeah, and I thought the kids were just amazing. So they're so talented. Also saw The Favourite last night.
I saw that last week.
What did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was really good.
What did you love about it?
Well, the three leads were all incredible. I don't know, I just liked all of it. I thought it was really funny. Even just the camera angles with, like, the fisheye lens.
Yeah, and weird. And the drone.
Lots of people stomping up and down corridors. Yeah, the script. Yeah. I really like the director. He's directed two of my other favourite mm-hmm. films, The Lobster and Dogtooth. But this was completely different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, still, I think if anyone else had tried to do it, it just wouldn't have had the same effect at all.
Yeah, there's something incredibly modern about it, despite the fact that it's set in whenever it's set.
Yeah,
I have no idea. 18 something.
Yeah.
To me, it's got all the components that make a great film, like amazing cinematography and incredible acting and actresses and script and storyline and everything. But his style is completely weird. Like, I haven't seen Dogtooth, but I have seen The Lobster. So, like, I knew it would be kooky and odd. I remember having this with Birdman a few years ago. Yeah. You think you're going into a film that is, like, in inverted commas, normal, mm-hmm. a conventional film, and then it's something that's so different and kind of quite arty. And if you're not, like, really familiar with, like, different mediums of film, it can be a little bit jarring. I'm not used to watching that kind of thing.
No, I can imagine it not being enjoyable.
Exactly.
If it was more kind of traditionally.
Right, I thought it was amazing and I really appreciated all those things, but did I enjoy those 2 hours? I'm not sure.
I know exactly what you're saying.
I don't think so. But yeah, I mean, incredible acting from all three women. And so refreshing to watch something where it's all about the women. The men are pretty irrelevant, really, aren't they?
I'm really excited to see it. I was hoping to go this weekend, but it was sold out everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm really shocked because I know it's got like a great cast and everything, but all his other films have done well, but no one's really given much of a shit. All of a sudden.
And I really think it is just because of the casting. It's the fact that Olivia Colman is playing that main part and everyone finds her so relatable and so mainstream.
She's really like the woman of the moment, isn't she?
Yeah.
And then the two others, Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone, are so loved.
Exactly. But yeah, totally. I mean, Rachel Weisz is in The Lobster as well, isn't she?
And Olivia Colman is as well.
Oh, yeah, she is. You're right. Yeah, she is. But yeah, I think because Olivia Colman, you know, plays the main character, and because she's playing the queen, and obviously they're so different in The Crown, you know, a completely different ballgame, but I think you kind of make the connection in your head and think it's one thing, but it's actually very different. It's
also really excited about Mary Queen of Scots.
Yes, it looks so good.
I feel like I've been waiting ages because they had the premiere weeks ago.
Yeah, it came out in the States way before Christmas.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, it's set in England and Scotland. We should watch it first.
First of all, I love when really beautiful actresses are made to look ugly and like take on a way grittier role. Like, I feel like Margot Robbie, this will be kind of the making of her if she's not already made, if that makes sense. The other one I'm so excited for is Vice. Christian Bale's playing Dick Cheney, he won a Golden Globe for it last night actually, and it looks incredible.
What's his name
Sam Rockwell is playing George W. Bush. The trailer came on before The Favourite last night, and it's like, impression is unfair because obviously, you know, he's acting the part, but my god, is he lifelike as George W. Bush. And it just looks so, like, sassy and fun. And the trailer's like, how did the worst person in the world become the most powerful person in the world? Like, it looks so good.
It's going to be good.
I'm really excited.
I absolutely love trailers. Like, going to the cinema
that's one of my favourite bits.
Everybody's talking to me the whole way through. And I was like, shut up. It's a bit,
When they're so well curated for this type of thing. Like, when I saw Mary Poppins, it was all the Disney remakes which are coming out this year.
By the way, Dumbo, did you see the trailer for that?
Yeah.
Why would you ever go and see that film?
That elephant looks terrifying.
Oh, no, it's just so sad. I cried in the trailer.
Oh, God.
There's no way I can see that.
I mean, it's all about The Lion King.
I don't need to remake it. It's so good, the original.
But the CGI, it just looks incredible.
And Beyonce as Nala, like...
Yeah, that is cool.
I've also watched a few things on Netflix over the Christmas break. I watched the Ellen special, Relatable.
Was it good?
So I don't find Ellen funny. I like her show because I like the guests, but I don't find her laugh out loud funny. But I had an hour-long internal flight on holiday, so I was like, okay, perfect. And the first 5-10 minutes, I was like, okay, yeah, classic Ellen. It is so funny, the rest of it. Like, there's actually not a lot that I really laugh out loud to, and it is so funny. It's just...
So what is it, like a one-off?
It's a one-off special.
It's her first stand-up in 20
years. Yeah,
she hasn't done stand-up.
Yeah, so it's a stand-up special. You know how they often do that with different comedians, and it's called Relatable. So she starts by talking about how she decided she was going to go back to stand up, and then a friend said, like, but Ellen, are you still relatable? And then she goes on to talk about, like, her wealth and, like, you know, as I strolled through my 500-foot bathroom, I did think, oh, I am relatable. Like, I just didn't get it to start. But then, you know how the best comics are those who just pick up on the kind of minutiae of life and, you know, are so true. I don't want to over-reg it because it was a nice surprise that made it so funny, but I really, really laughed out loud a lot. I think she really nailed it. So, 2019, what is everyone looking forward to watching?
My biggest one is Star Wars, which is coming out at the end of the year.
I didn't know you were a massive Star Wars fan.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, I was brought up watching the film, so yeah, I'm mega excited about that. But away from that, there's loads of things that are kind of, like, the end of Game of Thrones this year, which I'm super excited about.
And we've been made to wait a long time.
Such a long time. I think they're doing hour and a half episodes this time as well, so there are fewer episodes, but they're longer. So that'll be exciting.
I wish I'd got into Game of Thrones because I feel like it's such a thing and people get, no, there's way too much.
No. Just do it.
Not watch any.
Do it. I promise you, you will not regret it. Just do it. And they're not long series either. They're like 10 episodes a season.
I reckon. It's a big budget. If you started now, you could definitely watch it all by April.
You could, trust me. Like, I'm the least into fantasy ever. I've never seen a Star Wars or a Star Trek or a Lord of the Rings or anything like that. But, like, my God, Game of Thrones is so good.
It's just normal kind of politics between family and people, but just with sort of
cool old dragon and stuff.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. And then just things, Catastrophe, the final season starts tomorrow, so it will have gone out by the time this goes out. But just from there, just Line of Duty, True Detective, Mindhunter have all got new series coming out this year. Yes. So I'm getting ready to binge, basically.
Well, that's the thing you can look forward to.
Exactly.
Year,
yeah. Basically sitting in my pants watching telly.
Lou?
Mine's The Crown, which I hope does come this year.
Yeah that's going to be a goodie.
I literally can't wait. Every season I have enjoyed so much. And was nervous about the new casting because I think you get a bit of an attachment. But Olivia Colman's so fantastic. So I think that'll be great. But I think I'm going to have to like try and steady myself because often with Netflix, there is the worry that you're just going to binge and it's over before you know it. So that's, I think, why I like The Bodyguard so much, because you had to wait a week.
And you know, he won a Golden Globe last
year. Yeah, so pleased for him.
TV-wise, mine is Peaky Blinders. I actually rewatched the last series over Christmas. My boyfriend hadn't seen it. And I just love it so much. It is by far my favourite TV show.
I've never seen it.
I watched like bits with Ben, because Ben was watching it, so I like watched bits of
but
his.
But like,
I really
so much
tune
happens
in
every episode that it was like still so nice to watch it back because I'd forgotten so many things. I think the trailer's out, but they haven't released a date yet. But very excited for that. And cinema-wise, Rocketman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Literally cannot wait.
My God. Oh, buzzing. Cannot wait. Okay, well, I am buzzing for new Stranger Things as well. Cannot wait. Yeah, it is a bit of a sci-fi year, actually, because that with Game of Thrones. And also The OA, which I love so much.
So the second series is coming back.
But but they're being so elusive about it. Like, no one knows when, and they haven't committed, and Britt Marling, who wrote this whole thing on Instagram about like why it takes them longer than most things to produce. But anyway, it's one of those series that left you wanting more so badly. So yeah, just amazing. And also Friends from College is back on a smaller note.
Way.
Yeah.
That's so strange. I was literally thinking about that yesterday.
Really?
I was like, oh no, they only ever did one series and I loved
it. Where is that?
We loved it. Was it last year or the year before?
It must have been the year before. It was quite Marmite. Like, me and Charlotte loved it. We wrote a piece about it, about how it was kind of like, if you grew up watching Friends, you'll love this, because it's that kind of
age group. But it's nothing like Friends.
But the fact that it centres around this friendship group who all met in college, obviously, and what they've gone on to do.
Is it American?
It's American, but it's really modern. Like, I remember everything about, particularly the cinematography, was really, it felt really fresh. And you know how Netflix it does that so well. It felt like a really kind of relevant,
more sophisticated production. Yeah, it's not like Candle After or anything
it's
like
that. It's not fun. It's black comedy for sure.
Yeah. And it's on Netflix.
Is
the first one on there?
Yeah.
I'll give that a watch. So it sounds good.
It's the kind of thing you'll watch in two nights, but it's
Friends from college.
Friends from college. And that's back this I think it was Friday the 11th. Obviously, we've all had a lovely amount of time off. So I want to hear about everybody's Christmas. How were the holidays?
So nice, so chilled. It actually feels like ages ago now.
It does.
Because we're recording this on Monday, so we've been back in the office for a few days. But it was really nice, super chilled. I think having 10 days off is a really long time. I actually had days where I did nothing. And I think if you take holiday and do nothing, you feel really guilty about it. But I sat on the sofa most of the time.
Yeah, that was my Christmas as well. Yeah. I was sleeping on various sofas and floors as well. But no, it was nice to... Yeah, have a proper break.
Yeah, so nice. And I think it's the only time of the year that people really shut off and you don't feel guilty about not checking your emails, because when you're on holiday, you still kind of dip in and out. Such luxury to have that time off.
What was the best bit for everybody about being at home, apart from no emails?
Unlimited cheese for me, to be honest. I ate so much cheese, which I don't usually buy it because I will eat it. But yeah, every day at about 9 p.m. there was sort of an array of cheese to eat, which was great.
I've actually quit the cheese for the new year because I was, I mean, I binged.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I developed a Stilton problem over the holidays, and yeah, it's got to go. I think, you know how everyone's got like the one thing that they can see on their stomach? It's Stilton.
How was your holiday, Charlotte? You were off somewhere so nice. Slightly more adventurous.
Yeah, I've had 3 weeks off over Christmas, which I haven't had since university, since
before
I started
working. Yeah, that was well played, your days off. So well played.
Yeah, so I came back feeling, I feel like a new person actually coming back to work. And yeah, it was really lovely. Thank you. And I got back from holiday on Christmas Eve. So I've had like two holidays.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was away. I really recommend it for everybody going on holiday on like the 12th of December, because it's just so much time. And then to have the added bonus, as you were saying, of time off at home, which I never have. I know some people often have holiday days left over in December, so use them to just chill, but I'm always guilty of using all of mine. So to just get those kind of precious 4 or 5 days just at home. And we were talking the other day, weren't we, Astrid, about like getting admin done and like having time to do things like sort out a drawer or like call the bank or you know, all those little things that are just so hard to fit into your working life that you actually get done over Christmas.
And also having time when you actually don't do anything. My boyfriend always says to me, like, you never actually stop. Like, even when you're lying on the sofa, you'll be on your phone, you'll be checking your emails, you're like sorting something out. I never just really completely switch off, and I feel like I did that loads over Christmas.
So true.
Having said all of that, I actually wasn't ready to come back. Like, the night before work, this classic Sunday night blues on a Tuesday, but actually after about 10 minutes here, I was like, oh, I'm actually really glad to be back and back into routine and kind of back to a bit of normality, because you do lose a sense of like reality during that time, don't you?
Yeah, especially when you're away traveling to see family and stuff over Christmas. Like, it's so lovely for those few days, but yeah, sometimes you just want like your own home comforts,
your own space.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And how did everybody celebrate New Year's Eve?
Pub round the corner, which was, fun. Solid. I didn't get too carried away either, which was great. So didn't feel horrid when I came in on the second. I felt quite fresh. So I was quite proud of myself.
We were saying when we came back that you almost need the one more day, because the first is like a hangover day. Yeah. So you need the second to like get your life in order.
Evil.
And also it just comes up so quickly. Like in between Christmas and New Year's, that kind of no man's land where you're not really sure what day it is. And then suddenly it's New Year hits and you're like, oh my God, I'm back to work tomorrow. I haven't done anything.
It's so true. It's really quite stressful.
In Scotland, the second is a bank holiday. Yes, they know how to do it.
It haunts us because our Google calendar tells us that, doesn't it? Yeah. It's like, it's a holiday in Scotland.
Not here.
Yeah, not here, sadly. Lou, how was the Studio 54?
Yeah, really fun. So I normally always stay on New Year's Eve. I'm not a huge fan, if I'm honest. I always find it a bit of an anticlimax. We're invited to this party and I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's break out of our comfort zone. And it was so much fun. I think having a theme really worked because we got really dressed up and they had decked the house out to the nines. Like, it was amazing. So it was like,
what did they do? Because I have a friend who's having a Studio 54 party and she needs some inspiration.
So I don't know what it's called, but it's like those gold sheets where everything is has been cut. They were surrounded the whole room.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like foil fringing. Curtains.
Like
but okay,
full length.
Like, could be really tacky in the hallway, but if you like cover the room, it's quite a statement.
Cool.
And then glitter ball. And then they'd got some cool like Studio 54 signs that they'd put around the room. And then like, I don't know how it was, but like one whole wall was a New York skyline.
Oh, wow.
So wow, cool. They like really went for it.
So I think it just goes to show, when you are planning a party, if you kind of do those added extras, it really does make a difference.
And was it a house party or a dinner party?
House party.
Fun.
Yes.
Old school. I haven't been to a house party for ages.
I mean, I felt like I was at uni, like a house party, although there was champagne, which there wasn't at uni.
Ashley, what about you? What did you get up to?
I just went to a friend's for some drinks and nibbles. It was nothing too exciting.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that was it. Like, we kind of we're tiptoeing around the idea of staying in, going out, but I think it's nice to do something.
Yeah, it is nice to do something. I hate staying in.
What did you do?
I had a dinner party, I feel like I've talked about very much in the build-up, but it was so good. Do you know what? For a few years, I've actually been saying, to me, that's the perfect New Year's Eve plan, but the last few years, it just hasn't worked because friends have been in different places or we've had other plans, but this year it came together and we had two couples who we were really close with, and then we had some friends here from New York as well who joined us. So it had the added bonus of it was a kind of social thing because not everybody knew each other. Yeah. So that was really lovely. And then I just think worst comes to worst, it's just a nice dinner party. Yeah. And then it's an added bonus if you feel kind of New Year's Eve-y.
Yeah.
And like we went to quite a lot of effort, like more effort than we normally would for just having people over for dinner. But I think that really paid off as well because that kind of makes it feel like more of an occasion. It was just so fun and everyone really stayed. And then we played ball games after midnight. And it was,
it was really lovely. And what time did you eat?
This was like a big topic of conversation. Okay. We had everyone arrive for 8:30, which A was really good because it meant we had the whole day to prep, and B, we were really conscious of starting too early. So 8:30, and then we probably sat down for starters like 9:30. And then main course around 10-ish, and then like we were all quite drunk, so it just went really quickly. And then I don't think we did dessert till after midnight because it just kind of caught up with us. So I definitely say 8:30.
And what did you make?
Okay, so we made loads of canapes, and then I actually used Alex Head's tip of Marmite butter on radishes, which it looks so good if you get those fresh radishes in like a big bunch.
I love those.
And Marmite butter is literally like butter and Marmite, and it's delicious. And then Ben made tuna tartare,
nice,
which is really good. And I made a risotto because, again, big debate, we wanted something that was kind of easy to prepare before. This might be so boring, by the way, sorry if it is.
No, I love it.
Something to prepare before, something we could just kind of heat up at the time. And also we have like limited space, so we didn't want to do like 8 pieces of fish like that. So I had some veggies anyway, so risotto. And then we bought Blondie's Kitchen blondies and warmed them up and did them with ice cream.
Oh my god,
so good.
Such a
so it was great, really big success. And I will be replicating it next year, hopefully.
I'm sure your friends will be pleased if they get a second invitation.
Exactly, back next year. So let's talk about 2018. What was everybody's highlights? Lou, start with you.
Mine generally are always traveling, and it is going to be that again this year. So this year we went to the south of France and we stayed at La Roche Rouge for a few days, and then we went up to Antibes and we just stayed in like a B&B up there. And when we were in Antibes, we went to this lovely restaurant and they gave us some amazing recommendations of what to do. And one was to do this walk around, it's called Billionaire's Bay. And it just was the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen. And I realized, god, I'm getting so old where like literally what I've seen is the best day of my life. But it was just breathtakingly beautiful, and not something that like you see all the time on Instagram. And like sometimes I think some holidays you go and you're like, okay, I've seen this, but it was just really beautiful. And it was kind of old school, like almost like Hollywood glamour, and it was just amazing. Really, really cool.
That. Heather, what about you?
Nice. I've got two, if that's cheating. Very one was, yeah, my sister having a baby, which was really cool. He's 3 months old now, so I'm like in full anti mode. And the second one was, yeah, my kind of road trip with the girls around California, which is obviously a once in a lifetime kind of thing. Yeah, it was great.
Mega trip.
Loved it.
Have you got more travel planned for this year?
Not really, no. Not yet.
Do the budget on
Yeah, I've got to do some saving, but no, not really. Maybe a trip to France as well.
Nice.
A friend's dad's just bought somewhere, so
Best when that happens. Plot staying over. Asha, what
about you? We're all going to sound like broken records, but again, it's just travelling, and also very similar to you, Heather. I became an auntie for the first time. But travel-wise, I went to Sri Lanka, which is somewhere I've wanted to go to for ages, and I couldn't recommend it more. It is such a beautiful country. From the food to the landscape, it is insane. So yeah, that was definitely my highlight.
Well, mine's original because I got engaged. Obviously, that's a highlight, but also our South America trip at the beginning of last year, where we did Brazil and Argentina. That was like, well, that's also pretty once in a lifetime. I don't think we'll go back there anytime soon. So yeah, that was definitely something I loved about the year. Let's look forward now to 2019. And what's everyone looking forward to?
Again, it's travel. I think when you live somewhere that rains all the time and it's cold, you really do plan your year around the holidays. The only thing I've got booked at the moment is Florence, in March. So if anyone's been, please give me tips. It was my mum's Christmas present. So I surprised her on Christmas Day, and my best friend, since I've known since I was 4 years old, also surprised her mum, and we're going together.
Oh, that's sweet.
Which is so sweet. I literally can't wait. Florence is really expensive. Actually, I think all of Italy is pretty expensive these days. I was looking at hotels and it looks quite pricey. So we've actually got a really cool Airbnb, which is really central. I really can't wait to go to the Gucci Gardens. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Amazing. Like in the little Gucci Museum. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Fun. And that's quite soon as well.
Yeah, you exactly. Wait.
Heather, what about you?
Mainly, yeah, my best friend's getting married in October. So I've got that. I'm not looking forward to planning the hen do. I'm going to come to you guys for tips. Because I haven't organised one in a very long time.
Is it here?
I think it'll be
make
in London.
Make it here. Trust me, make it here. Yes.
London's a great city to have a hen do as well. There's so much to do.
Like, I'm from London, as are all my friends, and we still really love a hen
in
London.
Exactly. So yeah, it'll be good. So that, her wedding, yes. And then, yeah, a couple of other sort of weddings. That's it, really. I haven't got anything planned at all.
Lou?
Yeah, more travel. I'm hoping to go to Lisbon for the first time this year, which I've heard such great things about. And we are hoping to also go to LA maybe at the end of the year. My boyfriend's never been, has been desperate. So that should be something to look forward to. And also just settling into our flat a bit more. We bought our first flat this time a year ago. I still feel like we've hardly done anything. So making progress with that, basically.
Fun. Well, mine's a really weird year because normally I have got
travel. Yours is the most exciting.
No, it's really exciting. It is, but it's normally I've got loads of travel to look forward to because we're big planners and we always plan trips like really far in advance. So I would always have, even if we hadn't booked something, we'd have like, you know, what we were planning on doing lined up. But this year I have hardly any travel at all. I'm not going anywhere until the end of the year that is vaguely interesting, apart from obviously Mallorca for the wedding. And I knew that like once it became 2019, it would be like, oh, the wedding's quite soon, quite real. But I didn't realise that it would make all the January blues go away. Like, it's really weird. I'm not sad or miserable or any of the things I would normally be in January because I'm just really excited. And I didn't realise it would be like flicking a kind of excitement.
That's such a nice feeling.
Yeah, it's actually so nice. It's like I just go home and I'm like, oh, I'm getting married. So
that's really nice.
And last year it was next year, and that's a really long time away, but now it's this year. But I am trying not to hook too much onto like wedding because I know I'm gonna be really depressed when it's all over anyway. I want to come away from it being like sad it's over, but this yay, so we're exciting. Married and not just to be like all about the wedding and to be like
quite nice that you've split your honeymoon so you're going a bit later, so you have then got that to really look forward to afterwards.
Really lovely, but it does mean that I don't have any trips apart from to Mallorca until November. And Mallorca is obviously lovely, but yeah, I like to normally have a bit more going on at the beginning of the year. But anyway, it's fine. I'll just plan my wedding instead.
Where are you going later in the year? Do you know?
Yeah, we've booked Botswana, Zimbabwe and Mozambique for honeymoon.
Amazing.
So yeah, that is really exciting, but that's in 11 months time. So like, I'll get excited about that in like August. But yeah, no, it is really exciting. So let's talk about New Year's resolutions. It's 2019. What's everybody promised themselves that they're going to do, not do? Start doing, Astrid?
So I always do make a few resolutions, but just kind of silly ones that everyone does. Like last year I gave up coffee, which I did actually stick to.
Yeah.
Haven't had a coffee for every year now.
Wow, I'm on my third of the day.
Yeah, I know, I've had three.
And things like writing a diary, not in a kind of journal sense, but just so that you remember stuff that you do. Because you do so many amazing things, especially in a job like this, like where every day is different. So I do tend to make little resolutions like that. But I think generally, New Year's resolutions just put a lot of pressure on people. And instead of like coming up with all these like amazing things to make yourself a better person that you should do, actually just looking back at the year is such a better way of growing and seeing what you could have done differently or what you did do really well and assessing the year. So like I literally just sat down and looked through my photos on my phone, because you know you can do it by date, and you forget how many amazing things you've done in the year, even if it's something small. Like there was a night I went to the Ned with two girlfriends from school who I hadn't seen in ages. We were literally there for like an hour and a half, had a drink, but it was like one of the funnest nights of the year. And just like appreciating like those moments. I think everyone's always looking forward to the year and how they can like better themselves, but actually just to reflect a bit and see all the good things that you've done the year before.
Yeah, I like that.
Heather, what about you?
Yeah, my New Year's resolution last year was to keep a diary, and I actually did it, which I was really shocked by, because I tried doing it years before and kind of got to March and then just forgot about it, but I actually did the full thing.
Did you write it like a kind of dear diary or just to kind of log log what you'd been doing.
So it was like a full sort of Moleskine page of, yeah, what I got up to.
Wow.
And then
occasionally.
Every day?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So what did you do? Set yourself a time and you're like, I have to do it at this time?
Yeah, I tried to do it before I went to bed, but by the time I get into bed, it's when I like need to collapse. Mm-hmm. So I mostly ended up doing it on the train the next perfect. Morning.
Well, that's a good thing.
Which I quite liked because then I can think and be like, oh yes, like you're looking at it retrospectively. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I actually managed to do that. And yeah, like you, Astrid, I'm so pleased I did it because even over the Christmas holidays, I kind of read the whole thing in bits. There were so many things that you probably forget happened.
Oh, I love that. I otherwise,
there's only a few days, so you can try and remember what happened from January. So I really enjoyed doing that and I'm going to continue that going forward. Oh yeah, I also quit Instagram and Facebook last year and I was going to rejoin, but I haven't done. I might do, but yeah, I had quite a good year off it, so I'm just going to continue. See what happens.
I'm sure it's better for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're doing it the healthy way, unlike the rest of us.
Yeah, I'm still like a Twitter obsessive. I feel like I need that more for like news stuff. But I don't miss Facebook whatsoever. Oh, I do miss Instagram, but I've weaned myself off it now. So we'll see how long I can go without it.
Do you still have an account and you just deleted the app or you deleted your
presence? I'm not on it at all if anyone was to search. But I can kind of relaunch it if I wanted to, but yeah, I was planning on doing so at the beginning of the month but haven't done, but we'll see. Mainly just because I forgot, to be honest. It wasn't a conscious thing. We'll see.
Lou, what about you?
Weirdly, mine is also diary. So I used to always write one, but I don't think my memory's great and I just find it good to kind of recap. And also, just do you find it quite therapeutic? Like, I'm a real overthinker and a worrier, and sometimes just thoughts just going around in my head, I just need to get them down on paper, and then as soon as I've written it, almost like I've made the answer from writing it, or I've sort of come to some sort of decision in my head. So I, rather than do it every day, because I know I won't, I've tried to say every Sunday night I'm going to try and do it as like a recap of what happened in the week. So I'm sure there's days when I've got nothing of note, so yeah, I'm going to try and do that.
Idea.
So I did it yesterday, but I did find my hand got quite sore. I don't write that often anymore. So after a while I was like, god, this is getting achy.
If I've missed a few days, like my hands like by the end
and my
of
handwriting
it,
is terrible, and it used atrocious. To be so good, so hopefully it will improve.
I feel my handwriting now is better than it was a year ago when I was reading like January last year, like what on earth does that say, whereas now I feel
you can type it though. When I lived in Paris for a year, I did that to make sure I had kept a track of what of everything I did, and it wasn't a dear diary situation. It was just what I've been up to, but I typed it, and it's really nice because I now have this massive long Word document that's just saved. Better find it, but
that's
somewhere.
What I'd be worried about.
Yeah. But you could always print it, and then you just have it all in one place, and it's all kind of tied together. So that is another option. Should you not be able to read your writing?
As a writer here, I do like that option because you can edit it and add stuff.
No,
in, which
you can't edit it. That's not the point. Though,
no, but as in if you remember something, you can go to the right bit.
Also true.
I can't do now.
Also true. It's really interesting that you've all come to the same conclusion. It didn't even cross my mind at all, and it's just interesting how everybody obviously has their own thing that they want to reflect on. Am I just to lose some weight for the wedding? Very exciting. Bang on about my wedding some more.
Also, another one I thought is to do more interesting things in London. Sometimes I think I get so like, oh, let's just go for dinner, because that's the easiest thing to do with friends or something. But we live in the most amazing city where literally you can do anything pretty much.
Yep.
So I want to just try and utilize that a bit more.
I think what you were saying before is a really good point about, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to kind of start again. But I remember we had this chat a lot, kind of the beginning of the school year in like September. That is when I absolutely feel way more like ready and prepared to make changes and kind of better myself than now. Like January, we all know why it's like the time that we all decide to do that, but it almost feels like halfway through the year. I don't know why. Maybe it is to do with school. Yeah, September for me is like right back to the grind. On the summer I kind of lose my way a bit, and that is my like, right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be like this. For example, if you make resolutions to exercise more, that kind of thing, it's so hard. It's so dark in the morning and so dark at night. Like September is just a more motivating time to start things fresh, I think.
I think for me, because my birthday is in January, the years also turn into my ages. So like, I think of it as like, okay, now, so I'm 31 next week. So I think of it as like, right, 31, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So maybe it's slightly more like that for me.
Yeah. What about Dry January? I noticed nobody had many health and fitness resolutions. So are people doing Dry Jan?
I am, but only because my boyfriend's doing it. So I don't think he'll succeed on his own.
So bit of moral support. Well.
Yeah, we don't really drink at home either. So I feel like it'll be quite easy.
So how, I know it's only day seven, but how has it impacted you so far? Was your weekend different to normal?
A little bit because, yeah, I didn't go out as much, but that was more a kind of just, I was saying to Astrid on Friday, I was just looking forward to doing F4. Mm-hmm. To be honest, so I did that and yeah, didn't drink, so it's fine. I think later on in the month when it's a couple of friends' birthdays, that'll be when it's kind of trickier. But I did 6 months with no booze a few years ago, so wow. I kind of feel like now January a month I'm like nothing. I can handle that.
Wow, you did 6 months.
Yeah, just for the just sake of cleanse. It yeah, exactly.
Did you feel better for it?
No, not really. No. This is what everyone said. Like when I did Dry January before, like it's obviously nice not having the hangovers here and there. But yeah, I didn't lose any weight or kind of feel any better at the end of it. Although I'm sure there are obviously the benefits there. Yeah. But personally, I didn't feel like a new person.
I think unless you're someone who like regularly gets like drunk, like hangover drunk, then what difference would it make? Like I don't. I really don't. Not very often. I often have a glass of wine or a gin and tonic, but it's rare that I have a hangover because that I've drank that much. So I'm not really sure what I would gain from it.
Yeah, you're meant to sleep better, but I just don't really sleep.
I sleep better
anyway,
with a few glasses of wine in me.
Yeah, a few glasses of red wine knocks me out.
You must have saved quite a bit of money, though.
Yeah, me and my boyfriend were working out yesterday, so on a bad month for him, he calculated he maybe has like 50 pints a month, which is a lot, but when you kind of break it down, it's not too hideous. But he will say we were working out how many calories are in like the average beer, and I think we worked it out. It was like 11,500 calories a month. So for him, that's over 4.5 days worth of calories a month just went on booze.
I'm sure if you're a beer drinker, you really do see the difference. If
well, that's because he's a bloke as well. You just know that he won't drink for a month and he'll probably lose half a stone so or annoying. Something. Whereas I look exactly the same. It'll be interesting. But yeah, for me, it's more like the money side of things.
Yeah,
like, God knows how much that is.
Yeah, that's
probably
a, good point,
a similar
actually.
Amount, quite a lot, basically. So yeah, that is a good thing.
That's
saving
a good one.
Some cash.
Astrid, what about you?
I've done it before, and I do see the benefit of like being a bit more like considered in January. Well, everything from your food to drinking after December is just like a complete kind of
shit show.
But yeah, I've got a few things, like a few friends' birthdays coming up, going away at the end of the month. And it's just a bit depressing to like not have a nice glass of wine when you go out for dinner.
Yeah. I completely agree.
So I'm not drinking in the week, but if I go out for dinner or I'm going to a birthday or something, I'll have a few drinks.
I went to a friend's house on Saturday night and she cooked dinner and no one drank. We all drank water and it just felt like a Tuesday. It was I came away being like, it was a really nice evening, but like that's a bit sad on Saturday night, isn't it?
And it's not like you're like out on the lash, you're like falling in the gutters.
Exactly.
But
I think we should have just had a glass of wine.
Split a bowl between you.
Exactly. Lou, Dry Jan? You're not a big drinker.
No,
anyway.
I'm not really a big drinker. I like two and then I'm on my merry way. But as it's my birthday this month, I really hate it when people do Dry January. Yeah. So I'm like, that's so boring. So yeah, no, not one for me.
I'm with you, Astrid. Like, it's definitely better to be considered, but anything's an improvement on December.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And, like, I don't want to. I didn't go wild in December. But I was not considered with what I was eating.
Exactly.
Like, I'll have some more cheese, please. Yeah, I'll have a glass of wine.
Definitely.
And I just don't want to feel like that.
And also for me, the minute I go cold turkey on something, that's when I crave it. So if I just say, if I want a glass of wine, I'll have one. Yeah. Then I don't.
Exactly.
I don't
moderation.
Crave it. Exactly. Moderation. Let's talk about fashion. I don't know about you guys, but I often make fashion New Year's resolutions as well. And I was wondering if I'm the only one.
Well, I am feeling particularly uninspired always this time of year. Like the sales are still like dragging through. Not enough new season has trickled in to sort of get you excited about the new season. So I just find it very drab. I'm looking forward to clearing out sales, seeing what the new season has to offer, and I'm starting again.
And what will you be buying for the year?
Pretty much the same things I always buy. I've definitely got to an age now where I know my style, I know what I like, I know the brands I like, the colours, the shapes and stuff, and I can really appreciate when other people are a bit more experimental and, you know, they switch things up. But for me, it's kind of like my uniform and I quite like that. So
yeah. Easy then. Heather, what about you?
Mine probably goes against what you should be doing as resolutions, but mine is basically to just buy more clothes because I just don't really let myself buy clothes very often. And if I do, it's a really like, sort of thing. So yeah, I think definitely I haven't got very much in my wardrobe. So yeah, a few extra bits here and there.
Anything in particular you're looking for?
Some more shoes, because they're the one thing. I basically get one pair at a time, wear them till the soles are falling apart, and then get a new pair. But that's only because for some reason shoes really hurt my feet. Oh. Regardless if it's trainers or whatever, I always end up with loads of blisters.
You need some flip-flops.
Basically, yeah, I do.
You need some flip-flops.
Yeah, you guys have convinced me that they can look good.
I've convinced everyone. Yeah. I don't mean that they can look good. I mean that they should buy them.
Yeah.
I hate whenever I'm walking out of a flip-flop, but my God, they're comfortable.
No, I am super tempted. So yeah, maybe that's my New Year's resolution.
That's a good idea.
But similarly to you, with the sales stuff, I've been looking, but all the stuff I actually want isn't in the sale, and all the stuff that is on the sale, just it's been in there a while for a reason. Mm.
And you always have to look at it and like take the price away and be like, do I like this or not? And then see, is it on sale? Is it not? How much is it? Yeah. And then you'll know whether you
want it. And often the delivery's still £7. So what you would have saved on it anyway, you're then having to pay. So yeah, I'm avoiding that.
Obviously, I'm lucky that I kind of know what's in every shop most of the time. Yeah. But I only let myself buy things that I have previously loved and wanted and not wanted to spend the money on, because otherwise it's just, I know I don't want it. Astrid?
Not New Year's resolutions so much, but buying good basics. I'm a bit of a magpie, and you know, I might see like a crazy pink suit and think that I need it, but really, how often am I going to wear that?
Do look great in a pink suit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen you in a pink suit.
Yeah, it's worth having a pink suit in your wardrobe.
It's just like, I really need like a really good black polo neck, like the one I've got has kind of had its day. So yeah, just being a bit more considered, buying those basics to fill out my wardrobe.
And what was your, Charlotte?
So mine is the perennial buy less on the high street. I'm noticing that I'm doing that more anyway. I mean, this high street, don't get me wrong, like, has its time, its place. I think it's so great for so many things. But I really notice that every time I do a big wardrobe clear out, everything that goes is the cheap stuff, and the stuff that stays is the classic stuff that I've had to really think about, because if I'm spending a lot of money on something, it's a considered decision. I have naturally realized that I'm starting to do that anyway, and just really kind of stopping before I add to basket. But yeah, just only going to the high street when absolutely necessary, and otherwise investing. Well, whatever your resolutions are, good luck sticking to them. We'll keep you posted how we're doing. I think that's it for this week. If you enjoyed that, please do rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.